I'm going to read the Chronicles account because it gives a little bit more detail than the passage out of 2 Kings chapter 8. Second Chronicles 21. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel and Zechariah and Azariah and Michael and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Now, when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. Now, this was a wildly insecure man, and he was going to destroy and kill anybody that he posed as a threat to his kingdom. A wildly insecure man. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Howbeit, the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he made with David. And as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. Now they deserve to be destroyed. Without question, they deserve to be destroyed, but they weren't for this one reason, because of the covenant that had been made. Verse 8. In his days, the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. Then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him, and he arose up by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him and the captains of the chariots. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libna revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah, and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, and compelled Judah thereto. He was no different than the kings of Israel. And there came a writing to him from Elijah. Elijah himself sent him a letter, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and has made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab. And you've slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods. And thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, into thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah and brake it, and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives, so that there was never a son left save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. Now one son was preserved. The seed royal, the Christ, is going to come through this son. I think that's glorious. This one son was preserved because the Christ is going to come through this son. And after this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease, and it came to pass that in process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases, and his people made no burning for him, like the burning of his fathers. And that's not talking about cremation, but when a king died, they would have a great bonfire to celebrate that man's life. And this man, no, they didn't do it. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. Nobody cared that he died. As a matter of fact, I think they were glad that he died. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulcher of the kings. They didn't put him with the rest of the kings. Now let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence in the name of thy blessed Son, and we ask in his name that you would be pleased to meet with us and to speak in power by thy Spirit through thy word to our hearts. May we be enabled to worship thy dear Son and see something of his glory. Lord, we confess our sins. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing, and we pray that you would be pleased to meet with us. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now notice verse 20. That's where I want to begin our thoughts. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. Now, this is the story of Jehoram. And in this melancholy story, we have the gospel. He was king of Judah, and he had so much influence over so many lives. What a blessing. And the only good kings were kings of Judah. There were a few of them. All the kings of Israel were bad, Baal worshipers, contrary to the gospel. But here we have a man who, he was the son of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was one of the greatest of the kings, a very special man whom the Lord loved. And he saw how the Lord had blessed Jehoshaphat. But it meant nothing to him. You see, grace doesn't run in bloodlines. It meant nothing to him. And he went after Baal. He influenced Judah to Baal worship. He made high places. He influenced them in fornication, which is part of Baal worship. And even Elijah wrote this man a letter. And when he died, nobody cared. Nobody cared. They wouldn't give him an honorable funeral. And he just died without anybody caring. And how do I want to handle that? Well, the only legacy I want to leave is being in Christ. That's really all I care about. I want to be found in Christ. That's the legacy I want. Somebody says, I want to leave a legacy. Well, I want to be in Christ. That being said, I'd hate to die and nobody cares. I'd hate to die and people be glad. And that my life wasn't any more meaningful to anybody than that, and that's the way he died. Now, I don't want to die like that, do you? Now, like I said, all I want to do is be found in Christ. I'm not concerned about leaving a legacy of anything but preaching the gospel. That's all I want to do. But I would hate to die and my life be no more important to anybody that they wouldn't even be sad and feel a great sense of loss that I died. Now with this man, nobody cared. I don't want to be that person, do you? Now, verse 1 of this chapter. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. He was a good man. He was a believer. He was one of the best kings. And was buried with his father in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And then he talks about these brothers that he had. He had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. These brothers grew up together. Jehoshaphat was their father. And they saw how the Lord had blessed Jehoshaphat. There's several passages of scripture regarding this king. And you know, he had the biggest army that Israel ever had. He had over 1.1 million men in his army. That's how successful this man was. This is how the Lord blessed him. And Jehoram, his son, saw all that. Verse 3, and their father gave them great gifts of gold and silver and precious things with fenced cities in Judah, but the kingdom gave heed to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, this would summarize his life. He strengthened himself. He strengthened himself. And he was going to make sure that... You all know insecure people and what kind of trouble insecurity causes people. It ruins lives. And Jehoram was just dominated by insecurity. And he was going to kill every one of his brothers because he thought they might pose a threat. And he killed every prince that he thought might pose a threat. He was an insecure man. And look what he did. He killed every one of his brothers. And as we go on reading, we find out that he married the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And it could be that she, like Jezebel, would inflame Ahab and get him to do things. It could be that this woman did the same thing. Maybe she said, you need to get rid of your brothers if you want to be the king. One of them are going to come up against you. And so he killed every one of them. And I think it's interesting what their names mean. Azariah means God has helped. Well, that's the gospel. Jehiel, God lives. That's the gospel. Zechariah, Jehovah remembers. That's the gospel. And somebody says, how's that the gospel? Because when God saves somebody, he makes it to where there's no sin to be remembered. He's got a perfect memory. And when he looks at me in judgment day, the reason he won't remember any sin is because there's nothing to remember. I've always done that which is right. I've never done that which was wrong. That's true of every believer because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You all know Henry Mahan died. I was going to say some things about it, but Annie Sharon made this statement Friday night, and I've loved thinking about it. You know, he hadn't been able to hear for years. Years he hadn't heard. And the first voice he's going to hear is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that is what every believer is going to hear. Because if Christ did well, I did well because I'm in him. That's not doing well because you've been so good. No, no. That well done comes from the fact that Christ did perfectly well. And when the Father looks at me, he's going to look at as someone who really hadn't ever sinned. That's what justification is. That's what the gospel is. That's what the Lord does for his people. And to think of the Lord's memory being perfect, and he says there are sins and iniquities, I'll remember no more because there's nothing there to remember. Now, all these boys, Michael means who is like God. Nobody. Nobody compare him to. And Shephatiel means God has judged. And that's the gospel, isn't it? God judged our sins in Christ. He judged unbelievers. And Jehoram, all these representations of the gospel, he hated. He hated. He hated the Lord. He hated his brothers. All he was worried about was strengthening himself, so he put them all to death. Verse 5, Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. He was just as bad as Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Howbeit, now here's the gospel. Here's the gospel. Howbeit, the Lord would not destroy the house of David, Now, this was the king. This was the one that the Christ was going to come through. Remember, he's the son of David. And everybody had been killed. And who's the Christ going to come through? Well, one is preserved, as we saw. And it's because of what verse 7 says. Howbeit, the Lord would not destroy the house of David, even though Jehoram was so wicked. He was just as bad as Ahab and everybody else. Because of the covenant he made with David. Now, another word for the gospel is the covenant. The covenant that God made with Christ that is forever. Now let's look at what he said to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. This is a reference to this covenant. Verse 12, and when thy days be fulfilled, talking to David, when you die, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, this is the Lord speaking, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, yes, he's talking about Solomon, but he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. And Solomon did commit iniquity, didn't he? I mean, it seems like he dies in shame when you see the way he died, seemingly an idolater. You know, worshiping these other gods and so on because of the influence of his wives. But does the Lord ever chasten in vain? No. If he chastens, the desired results are there. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son he receives. So I have no doubt that Solomon, through the chastening of the Lord, was brought back. Let's go on reading. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever, according to all these words and according to all this vision. So did Nathan speak unto David. Now, this is years and years later. I don't know how long, but one of David's descendants, Jehoram, has acted so wickedly. He's acted just like Ahab, and you know what happened to Ahab and Jezebel. But he's acted so wickedly, he's gone in such a horrible direction, yet his seed is preserved. Why? Because of the covenant. I don't know. I've got a lot of favorite scriptures. You all hear that all the time. Got a lot of favorite scriptures, but here's one of them. Although my house be not so with God. David's house was a mess. He knew it. And I think he's talking even more about this house. Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. And this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's ordered in all things. It's sure. All my sins are paid for. I have perfect righteousness. God determined this for me before time began. It's an everlasting covenant. It was determined before time began. And David said, this is how much of my salvation? All my salvation. Not only is it all my salvation, it's all my desire. I desire nothing else but this covenant. To be found in Christ, to be saved by his grace. That everlasting covenant made before time began, ordered in all things, and sure. And this is why this house was preserved. Howbeit, the Lord would not destroy the house of David, verse 7, because of the covenant that he made with David. And as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons, look at that word, forever. This is the eternal security of God's elect. And in his days, the days of Jehoram, this wildly wicked and insecure man, the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. This is through his weakness as a king. He was losing control of these people, not like Jehoshaphat. Then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him, and he rose up by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him and the captains of the chariots. So the Edomites revolted under the hand of Judah unto this day. It's still going on, the writer says. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. The Lord took away the restraints and let these things take place with him because he had forsaken the Lord. Verse 11, here's what else he was guilty of. Moreover, he made high places. Now that's places of worship, Baal worship. He knew better than this. He had Jehoshaphat for his father, but yet he did this anyway. And this is how far me and you will go if the Lord doesn't prevent it. Look at this man and look what took place with him. And he caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication that was involved in Baal worship and compelled Judah thereto. That's what happened through his example. And then Elijah writes him. Elijah was an old man at this time, but he writes him a letter. Look what he says. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat. Now turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 1. And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel, who were enemies, Baal worshippers at that time. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and the cities of Ephraim and Asa, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. What a man. And it's all by grace, we know that. But his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And this is what Jehoram witnessed. He saw that this man's heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And here's what happens when somebody's heart is lifted up in the ways of the Lord. He took away the high places and groves out of Judah. He got rid of all that stuff. You know, if you are lifted up in the ways of the Lord, you're against anything that's contrary to him, anything that detracts from his glory. That, here we have Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoram witnessed all this. Back to our text. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa, your grandfather, king of Judah, but you've walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like Ahab. And you've made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab. Now, I think it's with so much significance that God describes this conduct as going whoring. He calls it adultery. He calls it fornication. And the thing of it is, in a marriage covenant, anything outside of the covenant, anything outside of the covenant is evil. Anything outside of the covenant of grace, anything outside of the covenant that God made with Christ, looking anywhere other than Christ alone, is going whoring after other gods. That's strong language, but that's the language of the Scripture. And May the Lord deliver me and you from seeing anything but Christ is all. And to not see that is to go whoring from the covenant. That's what Elijah calls it. To go a whoring like the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also you've slain your brethren of thy father's house, which were better than you. And here's what's going to happen. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods, and thou shalt have a sickness by disease of thy bowels, and to thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Now, what a miserable disease. Does the Lord always punish people with sickness? No. I've had my share of sickness, and you have too, and it's been good for me. Been good for me. Anytime somebody gets sick, and if you start thinking the Lord's punishing them, you're wrong. But here, the Lord did punish this man with a horrible disease. A disease of the bowels. I don't know what all that represents, but he was very sick for 2 years, and his bowels ended up falling out, and he died. Now, that's the scriptural testimony regarding this man. Verse 16, moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines. And notice how the Lord stirred this up. Remember that everything that happens, he's the first cause behind. Everything. I wish I could just rest in that instead of getting upset over things that take place and things like that. The Lord stirs everything up. He is the cause of everything. Aren't you happy about that? You know, whatever's going on, he's the cause. And I might not understand what he's doing, but he does, and I'm fine with that, aren't you? His infinite wisdom, everything he does is just right, perfect, holy, and true. And he stirred up these people, the Philistines and the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah and break into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives, so that there was never a son left him save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. Now this is the seed royal. The Christ is going to come through this man. Now, if you look at the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, included is this wicked man, Jehoram. But Christ is going to come through this one son, he's preserved. But I mean, you just read in that genealogy, a lot of bad people. A lot of bad people, including this man. Verse 18, and after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in the process of time, the Lord's time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, so he died of sore diseases, and his people made no burning for him, like the burning of his fathers. Now they would have a bonfire in celebration of the king. None for this man. None for this man. The people recognized what he was. I think his life can be summarized by that statement. He strengthened himself. That's all he was about. He strengthened himself. And he was going to stamp out anything that he posed as an insecure, like, he was an insecure man, and anything that posed a threat to him, he killed him. And people recognize this. 32 years old, verse 20, was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. Nobody even cared. Nobody was sorry over his death. They wouldn't even give him a proper bonfire. Howbeit, they bury him in the city of David, but not in the sepulcher of the kings. Now, what I was left with thinking about this, I'm not concerned about a legacy. I want to be in the presence of Christ, and I want to be brought to see his face and be accepted in him. And I just want to be found in him. But when I die, I'd hate dying like this man, where nobody even cared that he died. I would want to be an influence, I hope, to where people would feel a loss at my death. But they didn't at his. So I hope the most important part of this is the covenant. The covenant. The preservation of the royal seed, even though this man was killed. The covenant is everything in our salvation. And I want to be somebody who, because of my love for Christ and care for people, when I die, somebody's going to be sorry. Hope you guys will be sorry. Okay? That's it.